And that is not good for people, because one of the most intimate, amazing things that you could ever do is partake in Holy Communion. And it's so important that God in His Word, He says, now as often as you do this, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. What does that tell you? God wants you to remember what He did for you. He wants you to take what His Son did so personal that it makes you have hope every time you feel like it's not going to work out. God wants you to take it so personal that when you go to the doctor and you hear something that you didn't want to hear, that there's hope that comes up in there and that says, you know what? By His stripes, I'm healed. This is what Jesus went to the cross for, a part of it. And so if there is the Word of God says that this is my body that was broken for you. And so I want you to take that personally. If there is a place in your physical body and there's an infirmity there, there's a problem there, and you're saying, you know what, God, I want to take you at your word. I want a healing. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. If there's a place in your emotions that's broken right now, I'm going to ask you to begin to stand, because see, He was broken for you. He was broken so you didn't have to walk around and live that broken life. And so God is the ultimate mender. Y'all, let's break this together and pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you right now that the healing is taking place, that the peace is coming in, that the wholeness is coming in, that the healing is flowing through my body. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may partake. Some of you have not had peace all week long, and you've struggled to find that place of peace. And I just wanted you to just, as the music plays, just say, you know what, God, I'm opening my heart's door. Just come in right now and fill that place that's been all chaotic. Fill it with peace in the name of Jesus. For every person that depression has gotten a hold of you, see, God wants to get that off of you and make it stay off. Open that place up that's been hurting for so long. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for who you are. Lord, every person that needs a breakthrough in their life, God, I speak that breakthrough forth in the name of Jesus. For the people that need a touch in their inner person, in their inner man, in their emotions, Lord, I see the anxiety on your people. God, in Jesus' name, I speak that off of them right now in the name of Jesus. God, you said in your word it was not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit. And so, God, right now, I thank you that mountains are moving, that obstacles are leaving right now in the name of Jesus. This is the cup of blessing. He also says in His word that this is my blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. So many times we do stuff and we think, I've asked God to forgive me that, but I don't feel forgiven. We don't go by what we feel like. We go by the word, and the word says you're forgiven. If you've got a place in your life where you say, Lord, I need a blessing in this area, and you know that area. See, you can't ask God for something that you don't know what you want. But this is the cup of blessing. God's into blessing you. There's a place and you say, I know what I need from you, Father, I'm going to ask you to stand, because God's going to meet you right where you're at. He's going to meet you right where you're at. And y'all pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the sin has already been paid for. Lord, I ask right now that you'd search me. God, I ask you right now to take a deep look. And if there's anything inside of me that's offending you, God, I ask that you'd point it out to me. And Father, I thank you for the blessing that's already on the way. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to go around and collect those. Thank you. while y'all are collecting, I'm just going to let the music play because I really feel like somebody just needs to get a hold of some peace. Praise God. Lord, in Jesus' name, for that person that's struggling right now to find that place of peace, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over their life right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak a peace that passes all understanding to come right now into the situation. God, you said that you would give us peace, not as the world gives, but God, an ultimate peace that proceeds and goes above every single thing, Lord. God, the things that we don't understand, Lord, I thank you that there is a peace, Lord, that's coming, even concerning those things that we just don't know how they even happen, why they are the way that they are. God, I thank you for the peace that's coming right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to be fully present in this service. If you have a cell phone on, I'm going to ask you to be reverent and put it on silent or vibrate. And I'm going to make sure that mine is that way also. I think a couple services ago, Frank's alarm went off on his phone, and I was thinking, that always looks bad when the pastor's family break the rules. But hey, at the end of the day, we're just people, just like you, and we have the same struggles, same obstacles. Go with me now this morning to Joshua chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 9. One of the most amazing sounds that I've ever heard, and I think only a pastor's ear can really hear it, is just the pages turning of the Word of God for people going in their Bible. And you know what? If you don't bring your Bible to church, I'm going to challenge you to do that, because I could sit up here and read stuff to you all day long, but there's nothing better than you reading it for yourself. Amen. Joshua chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Now, Joshua was in the middle of a battle, and I have no doubt that if you're watching on Facebook right now, there's people that's going to watch this, and you're in a battle right now. And I have no doubt that there are people even in this congregation, you're in a battle right now. And so, when God says, Kelly, here's what I want you to preach, we're going to preach about the battle this morning, there's not a better point of reference that I could bring you to about the battle other than the Word of God. So when we talk about the battle, I'm going to reference how other people were victorious, how other people were successful. And so in the Word, it says here, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Now, there's some things. Has anybody ever pulled an all-nighter on something? Amen. Whoever's got kids, I know you have. Them kids, they like to stay up all night sometimes when they're little. But there's some things, and there's times in the battle where you're up all night. Sometimes you're up all night crying. Sometimes you're up all night praying. There's things that's going to take some perseverance and some steadfastness. We live in a very at our fingertips world, and what that does is that breaks down a part of our mentality that we need to hold on to, because there are times where you're not getting through that battle instantaneously, and you're going to need to know what to do to see that thing through. And so there's times where you're going to have to work at it. It says that Joshua, he did one thing all night. Now, some people cannot even do the same thing for 5 minutes. Have you ever tried to do the same thing for 5 minutes and you thought, oh, that's nothing? Can you sit for 5 minutes and not be on your phone? How many of y'all take your phone to your bathroom when you're going to the bathroom? I do too. That's not a part of the message. I just want to get to where we're all honest about our deepest, darkest secrets that happen in the bathroom. All right. Occasionally. I don't want to be bored in the bathroom. I'm going to shop on the in the bathroom too. But so all night long, Joshua marched. Alyssa, that's all that he did. He marched all night. Why? Because it took all night. There's some things, and God's saying, it's not that I'm not working. It's just that I've asked you to do something, and you're just not giving it your all. You know, sometimes what God asks you to do is not going to be glamorous. It's not going to be something that you want to do. It's not going to be something that's going to make you just all happy to do it. There's some grunt work in your salvation and getting through the battle. And so it says that all night long, all he did was march. All he did was march. And then it says, the Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. And Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. So here's Joshua, and he's just marching all day long, all night long. And in two places that we just read, we see how God handled Joshua's enemies. A lot of your battles have to do with other people. And one of the biggest problems we have is dealing with others. Do we agree? It is hard to deal with people. It is hard to deal with people that you love. And it is hard to deal with your enemies. It is just straight up difficult to deal with people. I was sitting here Wednesday night, and I was talking with God. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to get something out of church because I'm so worried about everybody else getting something out of church and the air being just right and the this being just right and the sound and this. And a lot of times on Wednesdays when I'm just able to be a person in the congregation, when Dad's preaching, I can have a moment. And I was talking to God about somebody that is hard for me to deal with. And God began to speak, and he said, Kelly, if you'll just take it to prayer. If you'll just take it to prayer. And I thought, well, why are you telling me that? And then I began to think, well, I really haven't taken it to prayer much. I've taken it to everybody else and ask their advice, and ask their opinion. And opinions are just a dime a dozen. Everybody's got one. See, the Word of God says that He will fight for you, and you need only to be still. There's a time to fight. There's a time to be still. And we got to know which one to do in what part of the battle. But see, there's a part where you may march on something all night long. You may march for a month. You may march for a 6 months. You may march for a year, 2 years, 3 years. See, are you going to hold up in there, or is every little thing going to be able to knock you down? And so we see that two times in here, the Lord acted. The Lord threw them into confusion. And then we read down here, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky. There isn't anybody better that could be in your corner more than God. I have spent and wasted so much time defending myself to others. If you have to sit there and defend yourself every time somebody says something bad about you, that's going to be all that you ever do. Because, see, the devil will know that's all he's got to do is just send you a critic, and he'll keep you busy all day. But when you refuse to do that, see, God will act and he will move and he'll say, you know what? I'm going to take care of that person for them. Now, God don't have to do something terrible to your enemies. Now, I got Italian blood running up through me. Sometimes I'm like, God, do something to them. I don't care what it is. Show them no mercy. And then I'll see my enemy going through something, and I'll be the first one crying at the altar from God, just let it stop. Lord, don't let my enemy go through nothing else bad. I just feel so bad for them. See, that's why we are not God. Because, see, when we come down upon somebody, God will show our enemy mercy. And not all your enemies are put in your life by the devil or whoever else. Some of the people we call enemies, God has placed there to help us and to refine us. And I am learning not to give the devil more credit than what he's owed. If you stub your toe and you're blaming that on the devil, you need to do something different, because see, that ain't the devil. You just left your stuff there and didn't pick it up. You know? If you eat 17 Big Macs in a month and you gain 10 pounds, that is not the devil. That is all on you, baby. The problem is that some of us, we just eat them emotions. I've been on that binge all week. And I thought, my God, where's the elastic pants? I got to have those this morning, not anything too constricting. But go with me now to Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 13. There's times in that battle where you're going to march, and you're going to march, and you're going to march. You're going to keep going, and you're going to keep going, and you're going to wonder when God is going to do something. Look here, God's always doing something. If God's letting you have some patience, he's still doing something. The other day, Frank and I were at a standstill in traffic, and I looked over at him, and I said, you haven't prayed for patience or anything lately, have you? He said, no, I haven't. Look here, Alyssa. I don't ask God to help me and give me patience, because I know that that's exactly what he'll do. I'll be held up everywhere I go. I'll have to just sit there and wait. I don't ask God for patience. Now, I know, look, if you're looking at me and thinking, well, Pastor Kelly's so perfect, I will get up here and I will tell you my flaws, because that's going to challenge you to do better also. And if we can just be people and we can all just try to do a little bit better, we're going to get somewhere. It's when we fake it till we make it, when we get nowhere. You quit that faking and you keep it real with yourself, and you quit telling yourself something's all right when God will never approve it. And so in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 13, it says, the Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal, and with a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. The Lord will march. The Lord will march. Sometimes we're looking and we're saying, God, why aren't you doing something? Look here, what were you supposed to be doing? Were you supposed to be marching? See, if you'll march, God will march. If you'll march, God will march. Sometimes we're so busy wondering why God ain't doing something that we're not doing nothing either, but we don't want to focus on ourselves. We want to focus and blame all our problems on God. And see, God is not the author of confusion. God is the perfecter and finisher of our faith. But it says the Lord will march out like a mighty man. And like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. And with a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. You do what you're supposed to do. And don't stop till it's done. Don't stop till it's done. When do you know it's done? When he tells you it's done. When he tells you it's done. I was sitting here saying, God, how do I deal with this person? I was talking to God about another person. Lord, I want you to shut their mouth. How many of you ever got a temper? Okay. Let's get down to where we all live. I'm sitting down. I can be just like a normal person, too. I was just sitting here, Paul. God, I want you to just shut their mouth. God, I'm so sick of every time I turn around, this person I hear, they're talking about me. You ever go there? God said, Kelly, I wish you'd shut your mouth. I wish you'd shut up. I wish you'd just get to praying. Because, see, that's what the Word tells you to do. Pray for your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Oh, I don't like that part of the Word. Because that's the part I have trouble with. Oh, my gosh. You're wanting me to do what with my enemies? Bless them? I don't even want to be in their presence, let alone do something for them. What does it also say? Well, there's a part there where it'll heap burning coals on their head. What are a part of the burning coals? Knowing that you refuse to stoop on that level and get down and dirty like they will. Because, see, sometimes you're going to have enemies and they're more willing to do something mean and awful to you than you're willing to do. I've had to deal with somebody for quite a while, and I have placed it in my heart, and it has been very difficult. I have put it and placed it there, and I have said, God, help me to not stoop down to their level, because, God, I remember what it took to get up higher than that. So, Lord, I'm asking you to put a restraint on me. Put a restraint there. There's been so many times I've wanted to say something, and I felt something just hold me back. God will give you what you ask for, but you cannot afford to do certain things in the battle. See, if God calls you to march all night, you better march all night. Why? Because you better bet he's marching. He's marching for you. You can't afford to step up out of line. Why? Because if you want your battle to go a certain way, you got to do a certain thing. Why is that? Because we serve a certain God. And that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He won't have any other gods before him. What have you made a god in your life? Go with me now to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 14. Dwayne, when you're up here preaching and you say a verse, you make it a point and you wait till you hear these pages stop. Because the truth will set you free, and the Bible is full of truth. And if we can ever get people to read the truth for themselves, that truth will set them free every time. Every time. So Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will. You need only to be still. See, there's a place in the battle where God will have you do some things. But then there's that other part of the battle where he says, be still. Be still. Be still. And you need to know what part of the battle you are in. Because, see, if it's a time where you're supposed to be doing some things that God told you, see, God will tell you. He is a very specific God. He will give you very specific instructions. And you need to follow them to the very letter of what he told you. But then there will come a point when you've done everything that you can do and there's nothing left to be done. And that at that point, that's where you need to just be still. To just be still. I've learned a lot about battles, specifically in the past 5 years, and I've gone through a lot of them. And Alyssa, there has been times where I've just wanted to just throw my hands up in the wrong way. But I've come to that place where when I want to throw my hands up, I'm throwing them up and I'm in worshiping God, because you know what? Even when it don't look good, God's still working. And there is a time in that battle where, hey, it's not going to look good. That's why we don't go by what it looks like. We don't go by what it looks like. Stop looking on Facebook thinking everybody's family is better than yours. That's all fake. It's all fake. We had our granddaughters down for 2 or 3 days. I'm so glad I stopped it too. Children. Frank's middle son has 2 sets of twins. I don't know how you get that lucky. And I'm just thanking God I didn't. And I can tell these little girls, we have 2 4-year-old grandchildren, twins, and we have 2 9-year-old granddaughter twins. And I can tell that the older girls, they are getting into their appearance and they're starting to slim up and just all this stuff. And they'll look at certain things. They had their little tablets out and all this stuff. And, you know, don't set your heart on something that ain't nobody getting there. Tanya, one thing I'm certain of. I'm never going to have a six-pack. It is never happening, okay? So I'm not going to look at a magazine with all these supermodels and their six-packs. Why? Because I'm just not going to do that to myself. We don't need to look at other people and other things and all everything that everybody else has got when we're in our battle and start thinking our life just awful. Stop looking at other people's houses and thinking that you wish you had something better. And how did they get that? They don't make as much money as me. What are they doing? Quit worrying about that. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. To be still. Go with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 22. I think that the Lord is trying to get someone's eyes open, because you've been asking God, Lord, how am I supposed to deal with this person? This isn't working. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 22. You can lean on, plant, build your life on every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can hang on it and you can take it to the bank. Do not be afraid of them. Who in here is having trouble dealing with somebody right now? You're having trouble and you're struggling. Let's go line upon line, word upon word. Man does not live on bread alone, but every single word that proceeds, that comes forth out of the mouth of God. So when something is getting at us and we can't get it out of our crawl, you need to go into reference to the Word of God. Not Facebook, not everybody's opinions, not everybody's advices. You do better to just go to the Word. And when you're dealing with somebody and they're hard to deal with, and you're not dealing with them good, I've gone to this week and saying, God, I'm not dealing with this person very good. I actually got about three or four, Brother Larry. I ain't dealing with them very good. And God, I really just, I'm not even going to say it on video. But there were some things, okay, places that Christians shouldn't go. And in my brain, I'm thinking them. Ye shall not fear them. Do not be afraid of them. Well, they're going to say this, this, and this about me. Well, what if they say this? There's not a lick of truth to it, but they're still talking. Who cares what they're saying? Who cares what they're saying? That's what God asked me. Kelly, why do you care what they're saying? God, I still care. They're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're saying this, and they're saying that. If God can send his angels to keep a hold of the lion's mouth for Daniel all night long, he can certainly shut the mouth of your enemy. But he'd also like to shut your mouth as well. I know. I just burst that bubble. I'm sorry. Truth is the truth. And I'm preaching this first and foremost to myself. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. I've sat here and I've said, God, every time they open their mouth, every time they have an opportunity, they're saying something awful about me. God, what are you going to do? Well, he just turned that right around to me. Kelly, what are you going to do? See, that's the most important thing. When you're going through the battle, the most important thing is what are we going to do? See, because God has a perfect track record, and we don't. The Word says he will fight for you. He will fight for you. But he ain't fighting if you're fighting. I said he ain't fighting if you're fighting in the wrong way. He will fight for you. You need to be still. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, do not be afraid of them. The second part of that verse is a promise. The Word is full of promises, and that's why I encourage you to get in the Word. If someone was leaving you an inheritance, you would want to read the will and see what it was. God has left you a higher inheritance full of promises, and you need to figure out what they are. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself, not his peon, not his associate, not his hireling, him personally. That's how much that he cares about what you're going through. He's not sending somebody else in heaven to deal with them for you or to deal with the battle. He himself. He himself. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. It's more important for you to stay in that place of peace than for you to get yourself all wound up tight. And I've been there this week. Your mental health is worth more than letting your enemy get to you. Your peace that you've had to really hold on to like a wild animal. See that? You need to hold on to God. He himself will fight for you. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 10. We're going to pick up at verse 12. And we see that Joshua, he marched all night. The Lord was with him. The Lord helped him with the battle. And we're still going on. On on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. There was a day that the Lord gave over Joshua's enemies to him to defeat. There's things about your battle that God's going to give you. You think, I don't want to go through this battle, God. This is going to be, look here, there's things in that battle you ain't getting any other way but going through it. So if he tells you to march through it, you need to start marching. If he tells you to run through it, you better start running. If he tells you to get up and just go, you better go. But see, God gave him. What does the word give mean? To freely transfer, to cause someone to have something. There's some things that God wants to give you, and the only way he can give those things to you is to walk you through a battle. Just walk you through it. And along that journey and along that battle, there's things that he's giving you. See, he's not leaving you worse off than when you started. When you get from the finish line, when you go from start to finish of that battle, you're coming out a different person, but you're coming out with more than what you started in every single way. In every single way. True promotion comes from God. I've prayed for 5 years, God, promote my character. Promote that. Because there's some character flaws I don't like about myself. Somebody was telling me this morning, somebody's called out the church and they're talking bad about the church. It's taken me a long time, Tom. You know what I said? Everybody talks about churches. This ain't going to be the first time and it's not going to be the last time. And Jill, I ain't messed up about it. How many of you have ever been to the dentist? If you hadn't, you need to go, okay? I don't even like to drive past the building. I have childhood trauma about the dentist. I don't like it, but I gotta, you gotta go. If you go in there and you say, I'm having a tooth pain. Guess what they're doing? They're going to take an x-ray. Oh, yeah, but they're going to get their little tool out, and they're going to start banging around up in there. Let me find out where it's really hurting. Not where it's hurting a little bit, but let's find out where it's really hurting. They're going to bang around in that tooth. They're going to find that nerve. And I used to think it was just the devil that was that way, but God is that way also. Because, see, if you stick with God, God will expose to you your weakest places. Why? So you can address them. So you can grow and you can get better. If things keep coming up, the same thing keeps coming up, guess what? God's taking you and he's put you in the dentist chair and he's exposing to you some things that need to change. And you can blame that on the devil, but most of the time the devil ain't the one doing it. And so God gave over the Amorites over to Israel. And Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel. See, you're talking to God and you're talking to yourself. What are you saying to God? What are you saying to him? And here's what he said. O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. What was he doing? He said to God, he asked the Lord to make the sun stand still. What does that really mean? He asked God for something that had never been done. There's people, and you say, well, I can't ask God for that because I've never even seen that happen before. You need to take him at his word and ask him. See, if the word says that you have not because you ask not, it don't matter what you've seen and what you haven't seen. If God has laid it on your heart to ask him for something, and it don't matter if you've ever seen it before, you need to ask him. See, because Joshua took God for his word, and he said, okay, God, I'm right in the middle of the valley, in the middle of this battle, and I'm asking you to hold that sun and make it to stand still till I get done with the battle. You mean we can pray about the weather? Yes, we can. I've been a witness to that my entire life. Because for my entire childhood and a lot of my adulthood, we had the Harvest Festival for the last Saturday in October, didn't we, Dad? And I've seen many, many years where this man right here, he would go out on 4241 Cottontown Road, and it didn't look good on Harvest Fest Day, and he would stretch out his hands to the sky, and he would say, in the name of Jesus, rain, you're going to hold off until these kids have fun over here for a day. You're going to hold off because, see, we're going to do something here today like we've always done, and God's going to honor what we've done for all these years. God will honor you. Can you be an honorable person? So Joshua, he asked God, and he commanded that sun to stay still. Why? Because the battle wasn't over. He's not saying, God, take the battle from me. I don't want to go through this no more. I'm getting tired. He said, God, hold the sun back. Because I feel a second wind and we're going. We're going to beat this once and for all. We're not going to sit here and crybaby around about this continually. God, I'm asking you to hold that sun because I'm going to go on with the battle. And we're going to win this today. And all I need, God, is for you to just hold the sun.
Hallelujah.
Hold it. So, the sun stood still. Well, of course it did. Why? Because, see, God had one man that had faith to ask for it to do so. So the son got in alignment with the man that had faith to ask God for something that had never been done. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. Don't tell me that God knows your heart and you don't need to pray them prayers. You need to get to praying and you need to get to asking. But what you pray and what you ask needs to be in line with the Word of God. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Jashar, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Verse 14 is very important. There has never been a day like it before. See, there's things that God would do for you that nobody's seen. But he's looking for you to take him for everything that he has. And to ask him and to have that faith. Don't ask God for something you don't have the faith to receive, because you won't get nowhere with that. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely, surely, somebody needs to listen. Don't call me Shirley. Surely, without a doubt, it's a done thing, for sure. Surely, the Lord was fighting for Israel. And I'm going to tell you something. Surely he will fight for you. Surely he will. Surely he will. Surely. Don't you get down on that level with your enemy. Don't you go there. Don't become someone God has to deal with. Surely he'll fight for you. Surely he will. Several years ago, how many have ever impulsively done something?
All the women are like, yes, we have. All the husbands are like, yes, they do. Yes. I've learned that the impulse thing is usually a bad idea. And it usually costs a lot of money. It's not good. A little funny story. We had these grandkids over, and I had a picture. See, we got to be realistic about some things, okay? In my mind, me and the grandkids, we were going to get around a fire that Frank was going to build. In the 100-degree weather, he was going to build this fire. We were at Walmart shopping for the grandkids, okay? I'm only 39, and I've got how many? 7 grandchildren? I'm like, I didn't even have to. I mean, look at me. I'm the best-looking grandma in Logan County for sure. And I'm like, man, I didn't even have to go through a lot of effort to get these grandkids. Okay. So we were shopping at Walmart, and I thought, we're going to have this. We're going to have some s'mores. Frank was like, this is never going to happen, Kelly. Okay? It's hot. There's ticks. There's all sorts of stuff. And I was hell-bent on it. I mean, hell-bent on it. And he told me not to buy these little jabbers, them little kebabby things. He said, Kelly, we don't even need that. I highly doubt that the s'more thing is happening. I said, I don't care what you say. This is my money, and I will do what I want. Guess where those things are? In the back of the car. Them grandkids are like a tornado. They have torn up everything in our house. I made them s'mores in the oven. Because by the time it was nighttime, we were tired, moody, put out. And we had had trauma with the 4-year-old grandbabies getting ticks off of them. You'd have thought we were killing them. And I said, Frank, I don't want to be the bad guy. We done told him we was doing the s'mores. He said, look here, kids, we ain't doing them s'mores outside, and we ain't building no campfire for the ticks to come on out. We're doing these s'mores in the oven, or we ain't doing them. But we got to be realistic on some stuff. And at the same time, don't be afraid to ask God for something that you've never seen. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to ask Him for something that you've never seen. I really feel like God wants to do something for people, but you just don't have the guts to ask Him. I'm telling you today to ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Many years ago, I bought a vehicle, and I bought it because I was trying to make a point to my husband that once again I could do whatever I wanted to do. Brian, I am now praying, Lord, help me to just be more submissive. Now, ladies, submission does not mean that your husband gets to be mean to you all the time and gets to whatever, but how many of you can agree with me at least on this one thing? There are times where your husband is going to be more rational and level-headed than you ever thought about being. Because there's times where we are irrational. I'm sitting here thinking, am I going to send Frank into Walmart to return these little things or what? I should have just listened. But there was a time where I bought a vehicle. And I bought it right off the showroom floor.
And I knew the instant that I got it, Tommy, it was a mistake. What did we read last week? You will never be able to be successful if you can't admit your mistakes. He who covereth his sins will not prosper. You can call it a mistake or you can call it a sin. You can call it whatever you want to, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And mistakes are most of the time sin. And I made a mistake. And I got on the interstate with that car. And it just pretty well, the insides of it just blew up. And I was on the interstate, in the middle of the interstate, on the right side, and it just stopped. And I thought, I could die right now over being hard-headed and just trying to prove a point. Well, it was a problem with the manufacturer and with the place where I had gotten it, and they had done something wrong. And I knew that they did, but you got to really know your business to argue with a whole manufacturing company about a mistake that they supposedly made, because they ain't going to go down like that most of the time. And I went round and around with them. And my sales guy, his name was Happy, and he was a little Asian guy. I love Asian folks. And he was like this tall, and his name was Happy. And I kept telling him, I said, Happy, I'm not happy. This car has done blown up. And now what you're telling me is that they said, well, Kelly, we're going to make this right. And I said, well, how are you going to make it right? Well, we're going to just put a whole new engine in there. A lot of people would be like, okay, all right, put a new engine there. Look here, let me tell you something. I know my OCD perfectionistic self, and that would have not suited me right. And in my mind, Bobby, I said, it'll never be the same. Because I'll always know that this was messed up from the beginning. And what you want me to do is swallow this and just go along with your mistake. But I'm not going to go along with your mistake because it was wrong. So what I want you to do is I want you to go and you find me another vehicle. Brand new with the exact same everything. And when you get it, you come to me and we're going to swap over. But see, I'm not going to finance any more than I already did, and you're not going to get any more money. If this is going to be the same deal that we originally made. He said, nobody has ever done that. We will not do it. And I said, you go to your people, whoever you got to go to, and you ask them. He asked for 3 weeks, and I argued with him for 3 weeks. But Bobby, let me tell you something. I knew in my heart that God would do it. There was just something up in there. And on the last day of that 3 weeks, I remember the exact place I was sitting. I was sitting in my office at the medical facility that I used to work at. And Happy called with more bad news. And I got off the phone and I cried because I was exhausted. The battle's going to exhaust you sometimes. But it's going to also be the thing that makes you grow probably more than any other thing. And I said, Happy, don't you call me back until you've got the answer that's going to make me happy. 30 minutes later, he calls back, flabbergasted. He said, Kelly, I've never in my whole life, and I've only ever been in the sales business for vehicles, I've never seen a company do what they're fixing to do. And they've insured me and they've assured me they'll never do it again. But we're going to do exactly what you've asked, but there's only one thing. There's only one problem. I was thinking, I don't want no more problems. This vehicle has a few extra things that your other one didn't have. I said, well, Happy, I'm happy. When do I pick it up? And I drove that car for several years. But when I got off the phone, I said, God, I repent to you right now. Because this battle was a battle that I didn't have to go through. I brought it on myself. Because God, I stepped up out of line. And I was wrong. And I want to tell you something. When you step up out of line, even when you're in the wrong, you can come to yourself and stop at any point in time and start doing the right thing. And the moment that you say, God, I stepped up out of line, how can I get it right? He's right there. And He will take even your mistakes, even your shouldn't have done it's, and He will turn those things for your good. Don't be afraid to ask God for something that you've never seen Him do for anybody else. You're not everybody else. You're highly favored. Unique. Not anybody else like you. He's asking you to take Him for His word. Don't look at other people. They're just going to confuse you. Why? Because you ain't them and they ain't you. Your life ain't going to be like theirs. It's going to be something else. Ask Him about your life and what He can do for your life. Last place for me this morning, Psalms chapter 107, verse 27. This was a verse that up until Wednesday night, I'd never even seen. If you're missing Wednesdays, I encourage you to start coming. Psalms chapter 107, verse 27. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. They were at their wits' end. See, some people are just telling God how tired they are and how they're at their end. You've battled. God, I'm tired. I'm just at my wits' end. I hope that when you leave today, that you leave here knowing that you can get through any battle. You've already won it. You've already won. Dad, I trust that you have the perfect ending to this. Y'all welcome the best pastor that's ever been.
In just a moment, this microphone, it's going to be like a miracle. It's going to start working. And I just have something that was on my heart this morning. I believe it's important. You know, recently on a Wednesday night, we had a young lady here, and she asked Christ to come into her life. She asked to be born again. And in my spirit today, I realize something, that there's something more than that. To receive salvation, you have to want a change in your life. Now, you may be born again, but you want a change for something else. Or you might have said the sinner's prayer and received a blessing from that. But, you know, if it don't change you, it ain't permanent. Now, we're going to close here, probably before noon. Because all I'm going to do is ask you, is there anybody here that's asked Christ in their life, but they're ready for some change in their life? If there is, stand up and we'll pray. If not, we'll just let you go. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone here, including me, there are areas in our life that we know are not right. Either somebody's doing something to us, or we just haven't moved along like we should. So, Father, everybody that's standing in this building is saying to you, I want it all. I want this area of my life to change. I want this oppression that's coming against me through other people to change. I want the fact that there's things in my life personally that ain't right. I haven't changed them. I'm asking you to do whatever you have to do to get me where you want me to be. And I want you to pray with me right now, people, everybody, brothers and sisters. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. And right before we say the Lord's Prayer, I want to speak a blessing over you, especially you that are standing, a benediction, the greatest benediction ever known. Out of the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. Listen, everybody, all of you, I speak this. This is an ancient blessing given by men and women of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm going to tell you something. You may not realize it. If you had peace, if we had peace, peace, it's one of the great things that's stolen from us. The ability to have peace, the ability to forgive others, the ability to believe. I speak peace over you today. And now let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. For thou art the glory forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. And I believe we have food for you today. God bless you. You have the best Labor Day weekend you've ever had.